Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our consideration tonight is a portion of our Isaiah text. It reads, starting with verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." We're reminded in the Gospel of John that we had today that the beginning of John, when he was sent into the world, he came to proclaim the light. But of Jesus it is said that he came to his own, but his own received him not. But to those to whom did receive him, he gave the power to become the children of God. In our text today, much like when they came out and questioned John, they asked him, because in Hebrew theology, they understood that a prophet like Moses would come. Elijah was going to come. Many different types of what people perceived this Messiah was going to come to be. So they asked John, "Who are you?" And John told him exactly. And he started to give some attributes of who he was. The marks of the Messiah, of course, from our text, is that he is anointed by the Holy Spirit. We remember at his baptism that the Holy Spirit came down publicly as God testified, not only in the visual anointing of his Son in the waters of baptism in the Jordan, but also the voice that came from heaven. Those that actually had a heart aligned towards God and an ear, they heard. But many of them, it was an indistinguishable sound. It benefited them not. The Anointed One with the Holy Spirit of God, mark number one. He would be a preacher. Our text says, to preach the gospel to the poor. The coming Messiah, unlike the vision of the Jews at that time, they had it right, they just had the wrong advent. The first advent, he came as a preacher, not as a ruling and a reigning king and a judge of the nations. That's about to come. But the Messiah that was to come, the marks of the Messiah would be, he would be that chosen anointed one of the Holy Spirit by God. And he would be a preacher of the gospel and a preacher of righteousness, even as Noah and the great preachers of the Old Testament were. He would be a miracle worker, point three. He would heal, raise the dead. In fact, Peter affirmed this very fact when he was preaching to Cornelius and given testimony to what God had done in that community of the Gentiles. Peter says, quote, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He sent him about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." Clearly, Peter identifies the marks of the Messiah. And again, I had mentioned earlier in the children's sermon that the church has marks too. We can identify that church. It's one, it's holy, it's Catholic. That means it's universal everywhere. And that one holy Catholic church stands on the authority of apostolic doctrine. The person of the Christ stood on Old Testament revelation. Clearly, they were to know who he was. But it doesn't surprise us that he would preach. You know, even John the Baptist, after he was locked up in prison, He was asking, some believe, whether for the benefit of his disciples to know that as John decreased, the Christ must increase. And the disciples needed to go to him directly after John's departure. They needed to see those marks and be affirmed firsthand. When he came and John with the message to ask on his disciples' behalf, are you the one that's expected, or is there another? And what did Jesus say? He says, go tell John. The gospel is preached. The sick are healed. The dead are raised. The marks of the Messiah. He was there. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, Jesus claims this Isaiah passage for himself. After he had returned from the baptism, the time in the wilderness, he went about Judea preaching in the synagogues. He was in Nazareth this day, when in fact where he was raised, and he was going to proclaim the gospel. He read our text from Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to recover the recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. After he read that text, it says he closed the book, and he gave it back to the attendants, and he sat down. And all of the eyes who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. Our model for worship today, in the Lutheran church, at least this liturgical church, is based on the ancient synagogue model. They did the very same thing. When the gospel is read, the book is closed, and I come up here and all the eyes are gazing on me to expound and expand on what was just read. Well, Jesus did that day. He closed the book and he began to say to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. So all bore witness. Everybody in the congregation bore witness to him. And they marveled, the Luke account tells us, and they marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. There were those in the congregation that had ears to hear what he was proclaiming and what he was revealing. And they were in wonder. No other preacher can compare to Christ. It must have been a marvelous experience to hear those words. And truly, how gracious they were. Gracious words are gospel words. He was preaching to them the gospel. There was people in that congregation that received the gospel that day. Their hearts, no doubt, were made aflame, even as the disciples on the road to Emmaus after Jesus took them through that wonderful Bible study and he preached to them the gospel of Christ, how their hearts burned within them. There were hearts aflame in this congregation today that Jesus was addressing. But as it is in all of Israel, there were some that didn't believe, that were hard-hearted, that were stiff-necked, that were rebellious, that thought they were lords over the religion of the parish and not to the glory of God. Because some of them immediately started to say, well, wait a minute. Is this not Joseph's son? A worldly perspective. They had no spiritual discernment. They could not recognize before him exactly who was addressing them. They could not recognize the marks of the Messiah to welcome him into their hearts. No, they hardened their hearts. And Jesus, as elsewhere, perceived what's in the heart of men. He began to preach the law to them. Jesus was a good law and gospel preacher. That's where we get our tradition from. So to those who were murmuring, he said to them, "You will surely say this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself.' Whatever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in your country." Then he said, "Assuredly, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you truly, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine throughout all the land. But to none of them was Elijah sent, except to Zaphath, to the region of Sidon, to the woman who was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elijah the prophet, and none of them were cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." That struck right to the heart of the unbelieving in that congregation. When the law or when the gospel doesn't get their attention, God will get their attention with the preaching of the law. They fully understood that God's grace reached out first to Gentiles when Israel was in a time of great need. And this infuriated them. You see, Messiah will not be revealed to the arrogant, the unrepentant, to those who say, "We are all the children of God. We all believe in God and are one." So all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, that they might throw him down over the cliff. Then passing through the midst of them, he went away. Jesus would ask to those unbelieving, hard-hearted, rejecting children of Israel, "Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, whom you have now betrayed and murdered. You have received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it." So, individually or as a congregation, we need to ask ourselves, are we a congregation or an individual that's Christ accepting or Christ rejecting? Are we one that accepts faithfully the preachers of the word sent by him, or do we reject it for novelties that the world would rather teach to us than sound doctrine preserved by the Holy Spirit in our midst? Are we one who understands salvation begins with repentance, or are we a congregation or an individual that believes it really doesn't make any difference how we live? God likes us just the way we are and accepts us. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, at the time of the great apostasy that was striking the church in Nazi Germany through the infiltration of communists and the Nazi youth and all of those who would take that Nazi doctrine and corrupt the church with it, Dietrich Bonhoeffer asked this about what the church preaches and what marks of the church should be. He says, "Cheap grace is the grace we bestow on ourselves." Cheap grace is the grace we bestow on ourselves. "Cheap grace is the preaching of forgiveness without repentance. Baptism without church discipline. Communion without confession. Cheap grace is grace without discipleship, grace without the cross, grace without Jesus Christ, living and incarnate." I want to ask you this. Have you come to the knowledge of the marks of the Messiah in your own life? That Jesus is the Christ? Or have you turned away like the synagogue from God's Messiah? Or is your response this Advent day when Christ asks you, are you going to go away too in your heart and in your mind far from me? I would pray this Advent day that your response would be like faithful Peter's. Where shall we go, Lord? You have the words of eternal life. Amen.